Podden sponsras av Great Earth, näringstillskott för livets alla faser. Lite extra vitaminer och mineraler för att ge kroppen vad den behöver är ju aldrig fel. Det har jag i alla fall gjort så länge jag kan minnas och det funkar för mig. Om du är också nyfiken på deras produkter, spana in deras hemsida och instasida med samma namn, greatearth.se. Du lyssnar på Träna med Shirin, podden där jag ringer upp spännande människor. Vi pratar om livet, träning och hälsa. Dagens intervju görs på engelska. Today I have the pleasure to talk to Mr. Janish Wadia. He's an internationally known Ayurveda practitioner and ambassador, lecturer and the author of 7 health books, all translated into Swedish. We will learn about Ayurveda, Janish morning routines, get some daily tips for a healthier life, how to start your day according to Ayurveda. We will talk about how you can live a happier life, about passion, finding your talent, how to make love to your food. We also learn the history of Tantra, the story and background to where he is located at this moment in the south of India, his childhood, vegan food, mindful eating, stress, and much, much more. Enjoy. So Janish Wadia, you are the managing director of Wadia Ayurveda Village in Kerala, South India. And you are an internationally known Ayurveda practitioner and ambassador, lecturer, and the author of best-selling health books in Europe. You have now written, we talked about this, but it's 7 or 8 books translated into 7 languages. You were born in a traditional family in South India and started your education in Ayurveda in the early years of your life with your grandmother. She was a well-respected Ayurveda practitioner in the village that you lived. You also extended your education with psychology, martial art therapy, meditation, yoga therapy, and philosophy. All of your books, maybe not the last one yet, I don't know, have been translated into Swedish. I have had the pleasure to listen to one of your lectures many years ago in Stockholm. Today, I want to talk to you about Ayurveda, of course, how we can integrate this into our lives and also about your background and your daily routines. Welcome to my podcast, Träna med Shirin, which is Train with Shirin in Swedish. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Shirin. I'm very happy and honored to be a part of this podcast. And I'm open to share any questions you ask. If I know something, definitely it will be open up with this interview.
Lovely. So please ask. Yes, and I'm so glad to have you here as my guest. And I also want to tell the listeners that the little sound that you can hear in the background is night crickets. So I love it. And now that we know it's crickets and not an annoying sound, please keep your window open. So please tell me and the listeners where you are located right now and also how you're feeling this Wednesday evening when we are recording this.
Oh, great. Now I know it's Wednesday evening. I even forgot which day it is here. In this village, we forgot everything. Which day it can be Sunday or it can be Friday or it can be Wednesday. And what time of the time, I don't know exactly, but now I can see that it is around 8:13 in the evening. Mm. So that's where you are hearing the night crickets. And on my, where I'm sitting now on the brink of Healing River, it is adjacent, and that means connected to the one of the longest lake in India called Vembanadu Lake. Mm. So if you Google Vembanadu Lake in the web, you can see that it is the longest lake. Moreover, it is in Kerala, very much connected to Arabian Ocean on the south of India. So this is the location I am here. And this village is, now you can hear that the night crickets, because on the other side of this river, there's no people hardly living on the other side, one or two maybe. So that's why there are so many birds on the other side. Night, in the evening time, you can see so many night crickets you can hear, and also you can see fireflies over that island. Mm. And it's like more like a magic for me. I don't know how it feels.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, and it was my one thing, that it was my dream to come here for a long time. So this is the first year I'm doing my retreats here, because this is my grandma's birthplace. So, and all my books, all my wisdom or whatever I give through the books is not my knowledge. It is from my grandma I have borrowed. She is still with me. She is living in my heart, even though she left physically when I was a child.
Oh, she left you early?
Yes, when I was 7 years, she left. And she said, she wants to continue living on this planet to spread the knowledge of Ayurveda. So she is sitting inside me. That's what I believe. I don't know how much you believe in that, but for me, this is the truth. So that made me feel so good. And I want to come here and I want to share this experience, the ambience of this village. This is a very special village. That's the most important thing. Once you are here, you can understand this is not like many other villages in India, because I always feel that this village has something magical, something charismatic, something like drawing me towards here. So we were working really hard to get this retreat here, but I had to ask the permission to the villages first to, is it okay to bring the guest from other countries, like, because they are leading a very normal life. And if I'm bringing like the people from other countries, how does that affect the life, normal life of the people? Because this is not a tourist place. So they said that, like, in the beginning it was not easy, but later all of them agreed with an agreement that it won't disturb their normal life.
So is it working well?
So far, okay. So far, so good. Because the people coming here, I'm very careful. I'm telling them this is not a tourist place. So if you just want to go for a like that, you can a party place. So this is not that place. If you go to Goa or like Ibiza or something, this is an island.
So the opposite from Ibiza.
Exactly. And this is the first Ayurveda center in the world with the completely vegan. When I started that, it was not existing. Even Ayurveda, we were using animal products. So we found out the dangerous side of animal products for the health, like the bad bacteria in the milk for dairy. And also so much bad stuff nowadays, the hormones we are getting through the animals, from the animal. So we want to avoid even ghee, like we are using ghee in Ayurveda traditionally, that's from cow milk. And we have found the replacement of all this ghee and honey and all the animal products we have replaced with plant-based food. So that was one of the biggest success of this plan, this center, I believe that, because that was, I have been working really hard for making this place completely a plant-based place. That's one thing. Good, and also here we are not taking too many people. We are very selective, as I said, that like we have 10 rooms and the capacity is 20, but we always strive for less people here, because even though we have 10 people, we have almost like 30, 35 people working on and off here.
Wow.
This center work. The reason is everybody's program is very individual. That's what my grandma taught me. And I am also following that. For example, if you are following a food structure, that means 10 people coming, you can see that this in the kitchen, we have at least 4 chefs at the same time. They are making this each person's plate separately. And the breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the snacks, everything, you need to have uniqueness that. So that is like an art work. It's a lot of work in the end, a lot of focus you need. And also the treatment program we are designing individual. There's no ready-made programs like Panchakarma or anything, because we have cleansing program that is designed according to, it's a tailor-made program according to the person's present health condition, as well as the needs, what the body needs, what the mind needs.
Oh my God, we all need to go. We all need to come to your center.
I think this is from Sweden, so I must say that, you know, during the last 6 or 7 years, I have been running this center in different places, and most people visited from Sweden, probably because of my books, because every year around 200, 300 people visited my retreat until the corona started. Then we have shut down because of the corona for last 2.5 years. So until then it was, and now we are starting and we are getting so many inquiries. But as I said, that we are still careful and telling people and making sure that they know what they are going to get.
But so I listened to one of your lectures that you had here in Sweden many years ago. And I remember, of course, that I really liked it. It was packed, this big place. And there are a few specific things that I remember. One thing is that I did not win the ticket to go to your beautiful retreat in India, because you were given one ticket away. But I also remember, and I mean, this was so many years ago, but I remember you said that chew your water and make love to your food. You have a book that is called Food is Medicine. And it's like, can we start here? And but in order to do that, you need to explain to me and the listeners, like, what does Ayurveda mean? Literally, and how, I mean, what does it mean?
Yeah, it is very simple. Ayurveda is very simple. That is the best thing about start practicing Ayurveda. Anybody can start at any age and in any condition, because most of the things in Ayurveda are free. So the simple thing we need to think, that is, if you have a happy stomach, that is the first sign of your health, that we call it the glad mage.
Glad mage, you know some Swedish, I love it.
So if you have that if you own a happy stomach, and what is happy stomach? Happy stomach means a good digestion, like keeping a regularly, like digesting on time without having of gastritis or any kind of pain or and also eliminating, like regularly, like a clock, every morning, a couple of times, if you are eliminating the fecus from the body and the urine.
You've been here too many times. The fikas. I had fika the other day. I had kanelbulla.
Not fika.
You said fika, okay. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you are eliminating everything like a clock, that is a sign that your stomach is functioning in a good way. So that is a good sign, and you don't have any cramps in the stomach, and your digestion is good. So there you can say that, okay, if your digestion is good, there is a big chance your metabolism is good. That means the all function after digestion, where the food is, waste particles of food is eliminating, at the same time, the nourishment is taking into the cells. So most important is to have a good digestion. And to have a good digestion, we need to keep some disciplines according to Ayurveda. First thing is, we need to think that we don't have the teeth inside the stomach. So the best digestion, the first very big part of the digestion is happening in our mouth, we say, Ayurveda. That means we have to chew the food properly. So like my grandma said, drink the food and eat the water. That means drink the food means you, when you chew the food, after a while it will be like liquid. So around 12 to 24 times you chew every molecule of food. One thing you enjoyed, each layer of food. There are three layers of taste. We normally, when we chew fast and swallow it down, we are forgetting the second and third layer of food. So that means the second and third layer taste of the food. So that is why we only get the first taste. So if you are, I call it meditation. If you are meditating with food, you just close your eyes, put a piece of food in your mouth and just chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it. So it will melt inside your mouth, and finally you can drink the food. So that is the right way of eating. But the question is actually why we are not doing, because of we are hurry in our life. We have fast.
Too much
fast
stress. Life.
We have so much, of course, so much stress. And at the same time, we have very short time. We have a lunch break. Okay, let's go for the lunch break. And then within half an hour, we have to finish everything. So that made us feel that this is not possible. This is to eat on time or meditate with the food. But I do personally, I say that you can meditate. If you are meditating with food, that means you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Apart from that, maybe the snacks time in between. So around 5 times you can meditate without doing a meditation.
Wow. Do you always eat in silence?
I think so. I believe so, because probably I am not eating in silence because I'm eating in the middle of a kiosk, like a lot of sounds around. But I, in my inner world, I am silent. So even when you are sitting in the middle, you can feel you are inside a bubble. You forget about the time and space. Because you have the total dharana. Dharana means focus into your plate. And also you eat in a tantric way. So that's the most important, that Ayurveda says that you need to practice that tantric living, the lifestyle. That means living in the moment. That's a simple way. So you have complete focus into that, and you need to appreciate your food. You need to be grateful to the food that came long way. Then, for example, now you are going to eat. Is it a dinner time now? Or
yes,
lunch time?
It's 5 PM.
Soon the dinner time.
Yeah.
So when the dinner is coming in front of you, have you ever thought that the grains inside the vegetables or fruits or whatever inside your plate, that has a story.
Yeah.
Every piece of food has a story.
Mm.
And that means, like, if you think about that history of that food, you can understand that food was grown in a farmer's field long time ago. It was grown as a plant and it came out as a fruit or a vegetable or a grain. Then it came to the shop, and from the shop it came to your plate. But you haven't known all this time, all these weeks or months, that was particular, that specific vegetable inside sitting in your plate is grown for you.
Mm.
There are millions of people in the world, but why this specific vegetable is inside my plate? That question, if you ask, you will feel so touched with that. You will feel so loved. All this way you came to fulfill one part of my life. So that is like the, because that is not gone to another plate. It came to my plate. Then you can think that that's the way everything, but no, there's not. Now we are talking. There are millions of people in the world. Why we are talking? There is a meaning for it. There is a reason for it. It's meant to be. So this time in your life is you spend for me, and this time in my life I spend for you and your listeners. So this is like, we call it nimittam. Nimittam means there is something written already, something specifically meant for. This is what the tantric living. That means I have to respect it to that. I have to say thank God for this beautiful moment you have given to me. Then thank you for coming all the way. You grown in a farmer's field, and you were breastfed by the nature with the rain and dried with the wind. And you've grown up, and beautifully you've grown up, and finally you are reaped, and you are now in my plate.
Oh, you really make it sound like a love story. And I like that you also, you talk about the tantric way, because tantra, I mean, I'm sure you've had this question a million times, it's always confused with only sex, which is not true. It's one part. So can you just explain short, like, what is tantric yoga means, or the tantric way, or tantric thinking, like what you're talking about right now?
Tantric way. Before that, I need to tell you a little bit about the tantric tradition, because many people think that Ayurveda came from, the history of Ayurveda is 5,000 years old. Actually, it is much more than that. The history of Ayurveda is, for me, it is around 14,000 years old, because that was the first time the first tribes came to India. They were on the way from Africa to Australia. When they reached where the India is right now, they stopped and started living there. They were called Dravidas. They were very short and dark, and also wide bone structure. And they had a tradition called Tantra. That means everybody was treated equally. man and woman was treated equally. And there is no king or servant. Everybody was working the same way. Of course, there were leaders, but leaders were also working with the followers. So they treated or they considered every tree, every star, every sun, and rocks, mountains, everything were God. So they respected nature. That's the most important thing. And equality was their one of the key practice. There, everything were respected. But around 5,000 years ago, the second group of people, they came to India. They were called Aryans. They were tall and slim and fair. Even physically, they look much different. You can still see people in these two features in India, Dravidas and Aryans. But now it's a blend, like we say that we have blended a lot. But if you look at the North India, we can see so much Aryans. And you can see like Kashmir, you can see the people with the blue eyes and fair and also lean and tall.
But looks if you like a Swedish person. Or sounds like a Swedish person.
Okay, I'm not talking about that. And like when you come to South India, you can see people are quite short and wide bone structure and a little darker. So this is like Arya and Dravida, two tribes. And but Aryas, when they came, they made the first literature of Ayurveda. So they took the best part of this tradition. They learned a lot, but they changed one of the key practice of this tradition, that was equality. They don't want everything to be equal. They created the society with a different caste system. So that means lower caste and higher caste. Brahmins like the priest, they were worshipping the god. At the same time, Kshatriyas like the warriors, they are going to the war and the protecting the country. So they made a different system, and the cleaners, they are also low caste. They were cleaning the streets. And men and women, they took that complete power of from women, and also financially, they are the one taking care of the finance. So women didn't have any role in financial and administrative roles. So this is all changed. That's what we are still seeing in the world, that the equal in not equal, the man and woman are different because of this tradition. So this is the Ayurveda we are learning now. So that's why we are limiting so much. But I am practicing the traditional Ayurveda from Dravidas.
That sounds more humble.
Yes. So that, unfortunately, they didn't have any literature. They were writing on the stones and that kind of things. Anyway, even there are so much proof that like equality gone out during that time. And in my one of my future book is called Tantra, the Forbidden Knowledge. In that, I have written the history. In the history, even a king actually decided to take away all the signs of equality. So there was a sign that if you look at the Shiva, Nadaraja, like the dancing Shiva, you can see that his right side is more look like a male, masculine, and left side is feminine. That means we all have male and female inside us. Also, it is a symbol of equality. But he wanted to destroy all the statues in India to show that this is not going to work anymore. So, always we miss something when we try to destroy something. And two or three places he missed the statues. That's why later we found that this was the culture, and we recreated those statues. Those are the statues. I still have a statue in my yoga studio in this new place.
Wow.
People are coming and seeing that like half is actually a male and half is female. Even the god they made with this tube, because they thought that everything was equal. So what I am telling, this is the tantric tradition. So for me, there's no difference between man and woman. I respect both, and I think that women are also stronger like man. There shouldn't be any difference. And every person has these two. And the main practice with the Tantra is basically like you live in the moment. And whatever you do, you live in the moment. So the living in the moment makes a person get more focused and also enjoy the maximum, whether you are, and always make love with everything you do. That's why it is. It was connected to, with actually sex. Tantra is, many people think that it is very much connected to sex. I will say this, of course, but it is not only that. It is everything. In that case, you can, you need to call that everything is sex. If you are eating food, you are making love with that. Because whatever you make love is sex. Because it's sex means, just simply means connection. So you are going to connect with your food. That is sex too. And how you connect? You take the food, you look at the food and just say, I love you. Or you are eating. So every time you see a food, for me, I have a prayer, silent prayer, saying that, thank God. And thank you for coming all the way to my plate from the farmer's field until here. And you are going to make my body and my mind, everything nourished very soon. You are going to go inside of me very soon. Even I don't know how it looks inside, but you are going to dive deep inside of me. So I'm really, with that respect, I look, I feel so much love, so much gratefulness, so much respect. Then I will, that's what we call it, flirting. So we flirt.
That's beautiful. You really explain it in a beautiful way.
Then the next stage is, after flirting, you need to touch the food. That's why we use the hand. You touch the food, we smell the food, and we put it in the mouth and just chew the food several times. So that's, we call it foreplay. So the second stage, like simply we say that, because people understand these words very well, so I use it to that as a kind of foreplay. So because this is very important in Tantra, the flirting and foreplay with anything. If you are eating a food, or if you are drinking a cup of tea, or whatever you are doing, you need the flirting, you need the foreplay. Even you are showering, like you are going to take a shower. You can do all these things, because anything you are doing, you should be completely, you have the mind there in the moment. That is a simple thing. But nowadays, what is happening is, we are not interested in the foreplay. We are not interested in the flirting. We are only interested in the orgasm. What is orgasm? Orgasm is the final result of what we are doing. Okay, if I'm talking to you, what will I get? If I'm thinking that, I will get bored with everything else. I won't enjoy it. If I'm eating food, okay, I feel like I'm hungry, so I have to fill my stomach. Well, how do I eat? I won't make love with the food. Instead, I just put it in the mouth and chew it and swallow it before even the food is breaking down. I will be swallowing the food. That is not lovemaking. That is raping the food. I am raping the food. So there, all the laws are against. What will happen? That will go to into our body with a lot of sadness. And it won't digest properly because it's so sad. It came all the way to our plate and we didn't appreciate. We just filled the mouth without giving any respect to the food, without giving any love to the food. We just push it into our mouth and swallowed it. So this is what's happening with everything. Like if you are drinking a tea, for example, I'm going to drink this tea. And if I keep this tea like this, what did I do? I haven't made any love. I just swallowed it immediately because I just want to swallow it. That's not, I'm not enjoying. So life is, if you want to enjoy life, every moment you need to flirt with the moment. Whatever the situation, you need to foreplay. If I say it in a simple way, if you are making love with your partner, you need to start with flirting. And you need to have the foreplay, not focusing on the orgasm, but what we are doing nowadays. Nowadays, we are just, most of the people are just focusing on one thing. If you are taking a magazine, it's a heading is how to get an orgasm. Why? Because we don't have time. We don't have time for
anything. That's so sad. That's also like every time you talk about searching or reaching for a goal, any kind of goal, if you're a business person or whatever, if you're going to become a better tennis player, you're always talking about how to win and you forget about how to get there. It's the same thing. You need to focus on the journey towards the goal.
Finally,
and enjoy that. Yeah.
So that is the problem. Whether you are eating a food, we don't have time to eat. We don't have time to drink. We don't have time to make love with our partner. We don't have time for anything. Only thing that we are doing is actually to, okay, we are doing it because we have to survive. That is the main cause of our stress, and this society is built by the stress, and it is moving with the stress, and nobody is satisfied in this society, because how can we satisfy when we miss the opportunities? We miss the tea, we miss the food, we miss the even a shower, everything we did, we are doing everything, but we are not living in the moment. We are actually leaving the moment.
I know. You have so much to teach the world. I mean, you so much. I love what you're saying, and we all really need to listen to this and like stop and look at how are we living our lives? How do we eat? How do we drink? How do we think? How do we breathe? Everything. Like, what do we talk about when we eat? And all these things that comes together and finally reaches your belly, and how does that affect us? I mean, we get stomach pain, we get all kinds of pain, and you every single person that comes to you must have some kind of imbalance.
Yes, exactly. This is the reason. Even though I practice all the levels of Ayurveda, Ayurveda is like a banyan tree. We have yoga is a branch. Meditation is a branch. Food, how to make your food as a medicine is a branch. So Ayurveda is not just treatment. Ayurveda is a lifestyle. To make this lifestyle, you need to first practice is actually, if you ask me how to start with, I will say that just cut down your activities. If you are planning 20, 25, you have 24 hours, but we have 50 plans, 50 things to do. Cut down to 10 or 5 and focus in it. When you focus it, it will be much better. The quality, the final result will be much better, and you will be much more satisfied. Then the question is, why should we satisfy? Why should we need? What is the importance of satisfaction in life? There it is. We are coming to another topic called happiness. Many people are asking that, okay, everybody wants to be happy, right? I want to be happy. You want to be happy. But how can we keep this happiness, the mood, the happiness from morning till evening, from Monday to Sunday, from January to December, from all years through different seasons of our life? So how can we do that? Is it possible or is it only theory? I say it is very simple. It is very simple. If you want to be like we do it, one thing only you need to think about it. Or you promise that you only do the things that you really love to do. You really love to do, because when you love to do something, you forget about the time and space. That is the way you understand that you are doing something you really love to do. And okay, in your life, sometimes you have to do something to pay your bills, but that should be very, very little. And then you have to, soon or later, you have to move out from that and find your passion. To find, because we all are born with a talent. So I say that, okay, find your talent. Don't say that you are not talented. I don't believe it. I haven't met even a single person without a talent.
Jag har tagit kosttillskott så länge jag kan minnas. När jag var liten förvarade vi alltid vitaminerna i kakburken. Ni vet, en sån där fin gammal kakburk i plåt. Något som gjorde mina kompisar besvikna när de stack ner handen på jakt efter min mormors goda bondkakor eller havreflan. Men nu när jag ändå får kalla mig vuxen har jag skapat min egen kakburk med vitaminer och mineraler hemma. Därför är jag alldeles extra glad att podden sponsras av just Great Earth. Ett privatägt företag som startades i Gävle för över 30 år sedan. Här är varje produkt framtagen med noga expertis och omsorg. Inget lämnas åt slumpen. De tänker inte bara på att kunden ska få en högkvalitativ produkt. De har också ett hållbarhetstänk från steg 1 till slutkonsument. Om du mår bra, mår alla runt omkring dig bra, och då ökar chanserna för planeten att blomstra. Eftersom jag är noga med att ta hand om min hälsa är det självklart att jag väljer högsta kvalitet. Endast det bästa duger. Support yourself liksom. Tack Great Earth för att ni är med och bidrar till en bättre hälsa. För både mig, mina lyssnare och för planeten. Ni vet ju att jag är noga med min hälsa på alla sätt, och det gäller såklart även min hudvård. Eftersom huden är vårt största organ väljer jag ansiktskrämen med största omsorg, och jag har dessutom väldigt känslig hud. Därför är jag extra glad att just MPK är med och sponsrar podden. Det är svensk ekolyx på högsta nivå där allt är tillverkat i Sverige. Och min hud bara älskar denna prisbelönta hudvårdsserie. Om du också är nyfiken på deras produkter, in och titta på mettepk.se. PK stavas P-I-C-A-U-T.
So then you can say that, oh, I don't have a talent. I have only limitation. Wait. Maybe that limitation is your talent.
Mm.
Maybe your weakness is your strength. Or find your weakness. If you cannot find your strength, find your weakness. For example, for me, I was like, I want to study English because my grandma is living here and I want to make her voice come out. All the world should understand. If I'm talking my language, you won't understand. So I went to an English medium school, but unfortunately, they put me out from the school because after 4 years, they understood that I don't have the IQ to learn English. I am a low average student. I don't have the IQ to study.
That's what they told you.
Yeah, that was what they told me. And I just dropped out from the English medium. So I didn't have the opportunity, but I continued working there now I'm speaking English because I have learned through different ways. So what I'm thinking that because of that, when I was in fifth standard, I was just like everybody gathered and the teacher asked, okay, what do you want to become? Everybody said doctor and engineer. And I said, I want to write a book because I know that my grandma's wisdom I can put it into. Then he asked, what language? I want everybody to read, so it should be in English, right? Yes, it should be in English, I said, but everybody laughed because I'm a dropout case from English medium school. Now I am thinking about a stupid vision that I want to write a book in English, but I didn't laugh because I know that I can do it because my grandma is with me. So anyway, when I reached in the college, I saw that all my friends, they are talking like British accent English, very good English, but my English is very, very poor. Because I cannot get that accent because I lost the thread. Even though I studied privately from different books and newspapers and radio, I didn't get that. I was so upset that when I hear that, I cannot talk some words like British people talking or Americans talking. But when I reach in like country like Sweden and I started to move from, they said that, Janesh, you know, I understood everything you said. Because normally people coming from Britain and US, they take Ayurveda lectures like, but I haven't understood their language because it's so much accent, I couldn't catch that. But your every word goes to my heart, they said. So I understood that my weakness is actually, I was a dropout, so I couldn't learn good English, but that was my plus point. Oh, that's so I have a reason. So I made my weakness into strength and I went to so many countries, even in Poland, they Yay! Won't understand any English. I made my English speaking without a translator.
That's See? Amazing. Your English is perfect.
Yes, it is perfect for you because you are not from England or America.
Yeah, but the British and the Americans will understand you anyway, yeah, even nowadays, though you have an Indian accent.
Yes, nowadays. But I'm saying that's not the point. The point was actually the weakness is my strength. Mm-hmm. So everybody thinks that if they cannot find their strength, they can find their weakness and make their weakness into strength or find their talent and make their talent into their profession. And I must say that don't waste your time. You just once you make your talent into your profession, that is the final day of your work. Or that is the first day your holiday, real holiday starts in your life. So I stopped working or I haven't worked in my whole life and I'm not going to work in my whole life. So then you can say, oh, what are you doing, Janet? I say, I do something I love to do. There is nothing. I don't have any kind of pressure from the top or from the bottom, nothing. If I don't like it, I will quit this, what I'm doing. So here, there is no pressure. So that's why the reason, one of the reason I don't have the stress like many people have.
Do you never stress? You never feel stress?
I felt stress very much once, like once when I was around 20, 23. Even though I learned Ayurveda, I haven't practiced. It's just like keeping a dictionary in your hand, but you don't know the words inside. So I practiced everything. I practiced yoga. I try to practice meditation. I sit and meditate maybe 1 or 2 hours. But after that, I am stressed. And like I practice yoga and everything is doing. But I haven't practiced Manashastra. Manashastra is the psychology part of Ayurveda.
Mm.
So I know the theory, but I didn't practice it. So that means I have to practice. So when I started to practice and when I apply that in my life, I was anxious like nobody anxious. Like I thought that I will die with this anxiety. And I had a sadness because of my relationship especially with my father. That's what I wrote my first book, Idiyatha Sistharaginet. So like I wrote it as a novel. So it's so easy to digest for the readers. So it was
This one, I have it in Swedish. It's called The Last Rain.
Exactly.
Is that the one? Is it called The Last Rain in English as well?
You know, it's not published anywhere else. I took the book back because I don't want to publish. It was like a therapy for me because it was like a memory.
It's beautiful.
So I haven't written like any other books as a novel yet, but maybe in the future. But this one, I wrote it as a therapy because I have the issue. So you should understand that I was so much so much sadness in me. Mm-hmm. I was stressed with heavily stressed, like as I was running into the wall. And I was also anxious. So I had so much anxiety. So this is the reason my health was very, very much into danger. I thought that my heart would stop because of the heartbeats. And then I understood that my hair, I am losing the hair, my eye power is going. Because when you get stressed, everything will collapse. My stomach is not working. So I get all the, and I'm almost near to get some kind of skin problem because skin is itching. So, and back, I got back pain. And if I was going like that, I would have been end up much early in the hospital.
Mm.
But I took a turn from my grandma. I got the message that this is the time. First, before you teach others, you have to practice yourself.
Yeah.
So I decided to practice myself and start practicing. That was the beginning of my journey. And when I started to practice this simple theory, that's what I'm giving as online courses now. I have a mind management course, like 9 times course that anybody can practice. It starts from the top. Like I practice through the chakras, like the crown chakra, bro chakra, throat chakra. What is the meaning of this? Heart chakra, solar plexus chakra, sacral chakra, and base chakra. Many people don't know. They can make use of these chakras in their life and change their life with it. It's very simple theory. They don't need to change too much in their life. Just to understand and make some slight differences. And they can see the difference from the first month onwards. So I give a homework for 1 month. So I only meet once in a month. And then I have many clients around the world. I am doing it, this course. So this is what I did personally. So what I'm saying is, if you are if you find your passion, if you find most of our stress is a signal saying that something is wrong in our life. Why are we here on this planet? We are here on this planet with a purpose. We are here. We are not our body. We are not our mind. We are a spirit traveling through this planet for a few years to experience a human life. But what are we doing? Are we enjoying? No, we are really, really stressed. We are really going in a wrong way. And finally, we are disappearing with the disease or not with the disease, but we lost most of our valuable time on this beautiful planet called Earth. So, and then when we disappear, we will feel regret. I'm sure that our soul will be regretted like in the future if we are going this way. So, if there is any way to return, definitely you can return. Only one thing you need to do, actually, stop doing anything that you don't want to do in your life.
That sometimes it's easier said than done, but exactly. I hear you.
Most times it is but what is easy and what is difficult? Then we have to again question. Nothing is easy in this world and nothing is difficult in this world. Easy or difficult is only in our mind, not in the reality. Because this world is a maya, an illusion. What you see me and what I'm seeing you, what we understand, this is an illusion. So in this illusion, we also create an illusion. This is difficult, this is easy. So that should be changed. And this is possible, this is impossible. I am good, I am not good. I am valuable, I am worth, I am not worth. I am beautiful or I am ugly. This is an illusion. So first we need to create that illusion, like change the illusion and come to the reality. In reality, we are beautiful. We are beautiful creatures called souls. We are souls. We don't own anything. That's the reality. We own our house, we own our car, we own our bank account, we have a job, my designation is this. This is our ego. This is Maya. This is an illusion. But we believe in the illusion as reality. See, here the reality is much different. So the reality is actually we are here on this planet only for a few hours before the sunset. By understanding this truth, we understand the value of each day, each hour, each minute, each second. And if we put our hand on the on our heart and listen to that heartbeat, we can hear that every heartbeat is one less heartbeat for the rest of our life. So here comes again to the meaning of life, the point of life. So we are here very little time. It's just like a 90 minutes game, a football match. Yeah. It will, if you play or not, it will end one day. So only thing we need to do it. Okay, decide, give a promise to your heart. Now, when you're listening this, all the listeners, this is my advice is, put your hand on your heart and say now, this moment, that this is the time I decided to live for my heart, follow my heart. I'm listening to my heart. This is the time I'm going to stop listening to the brain that was filled, that is filled with all these society rules. And I'm only listening that now, that I need to stop. I need to listen more to my inner self, my inner heart.
That's beautiful.
And then follow. When you are following that, you only follow your wishes. You only follow your dreams. And you only follow the what you really love to do, not have to do. And you can make any talent, anything you are really, really best at. Because most of the people, for example, most of the people working in what they are good at, maybe what they are bad at. That's why they are not really happy. They are working something because they need to pay the bills.
But there are so many people living like that. So many people. I would say the majority of people live like that. So, I mean, whatever you, what you're teaching and what you're saying is so super, super, super important. And Ayurveda literally means the science of life, right?
Yes, Ayur means life and Veda means wisdom. It's a
wisdom
science
of life.
Life.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
is, many people are thinking it is going for some treatments and eating some herbal pills. That's what they asked me when I first arrived.
And just make it quick. Just make it quick. I only have a week.
Give me a massage and give me a pill. I said, Ayurveda is a lifestyle. It is a philosophy. And when you understand that philosophy, you understand that the meaning of your life, you release all the tension. Because when you understand that you are a traveler, you don't belong to this planet, but you are a traveler. You don't need to carry all these burdens. You don't need to carry all these things that you are carrying now. You don't need to feel the way you are feeling now, because you don't need to feel the stress or anxiety. You don't need to feel the stress because nothing is important in your life when you live. You don't need to feel the anxiety because anxiety is about what's going to happen next. There is no surety for anybody, rich or poor, king or the servant. Nobody has the certainty what's going to happen. So, and sadness, past is past. We don't have the choice about our past to change, but the future is. So always be hopeful. Hope is the rope. We can climb up from the darkness in our life. So every time when we think about it and we need to, we promise ourselves we are going to love you, we are going to do something we love to do. From morning till evening, we are going to we are going to search for what I want to fulfill in my life, what I want to give to my heart today, what I love to do, what I'm passionate. Oh, I'm passionate to read. I want to read all the time. I'm a reader. But how can I pay my bills? I said, okay, if you can read, you love to read. If you are a reader, you can find that as a job. You can be a librarian or you can work in an editorial company. Okay, I'm a swimmer. How can I? You can, if you are a swimmer, you can do so many things. For example, once I was in a place that there I saw a man is coming. Like it was in the States, so he was coming every day and working with like a marketing company. Because in the lunch time, he is running to the beach with his tie and a shirt, and just taking
surfboard.
Off surfboard. Yes, surfboard and a Vespa scooter, and but he's just half an hour swimming and coming back and going. Then one day I asked him, "What you want to? Why you are quickly doing it?" "Because I want to. I'm working in a marketing firm, and I only get a half an hour lunch break.
Wow.
So I won't take a lunch. I take a burger and just come and do the surfing, because the surfing is my passion." Then I asked him, "Why can't you make this as a job?" He said, he looked at me like I came from
another planet. Yeah.
Yes. He said that it is impossible. You know that it is I cannot do that. It needs investment, blah, blah, blah. So many excuses. But we had a nice chat and I left. And after I think 5 or 6 years after, I came back to that time, the house I was lived on the shore, it is completely taken off, because I was sitting there writing 2 months on the shore of Laguna Beach, actually. So it was like completely gone, and the new houses came. Then I saw that there was a surf school also. Then I recognized this guy. he started this surf, but when
really?
He saw me, he was so happy, because he said that it was that talk he changed his life, because he tried for a few more months for the same job, but he was very unhappy every day. Finally, he decided to quit and started, but it was like a catastrophe in the beginning because of the competition. So he was going to get bankrupt because of this, but it picked up because of his continuous work. Finally, now it was like around 10, 12 people working under him. And he's.
Wow, that's beautiful. What a nice story.
Exactly. So what I'm telling is, it's everybody, you and me and all the people listening this this podcast should know that we all are born with a golden spoon in our mouth.
Yeah.
But we are just using this spoon or the cup to beg for money. But that we are not understanding the talent. So we have that talent, and don't think that, don't even hesitate even a single second that we are worthless. We have to follow these rules, because we have educated in this society when we were born to be wild, to be obeying animals, just like the elephants we catch from the forest. They won't obey immediately. The horses, they won't obey, but we beat them, we treat them bad and make them obey us. Mm. So this education we are giving in the society nowadays to the children, to make them, we have a saying that pageant is a custom here. They put the elephant on the border of a village, where if a wild elephant is coming, that's not obeying. So every villager going, not here, it is happening in Africa. Every villager passing through that entrance, they take a stick and beat that animal.
Aww.
And getting beaten and beaten and beaten. Every time it get a beaten, maybe it will scream and show there. In the beginning, they will show that. After a while, it lose the confidence.
Yeah,
it lose the confidence, and it, because the idea behind is the pageant. Pageant is a custom in Africa. It is actually breaking the confidence of that animal.
Yeah.
When the confidence is gone, that animal comes down and obey the horse.
Yeah.
Then that animal believes that I never can be the old animal. I am something else. I am weak. I am not big. I am too small than these humans. Actually, it is not seeing how big that animal is. It is the same thing with our custom. We, in the school, from the first standard to the last standard, we want to create doctors to make the treat the like millions of people. They are going to get disease because of our high pollution in the air, water, and earth. We want to make engineers to make more aeroplanes and more aerodromes and bridges and houses. We want everything we are creating. And if you are talented, doesn't matter. We want, this is a pageant. You are putting down this the confidence of each and every student, because we want to reshape that student into match with the society. And if somebody is out of that system, they are called crazy.
Yeah, very different. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. So I asked all my guests what their morning routines are, because I think that says a lot about a person and how they treat themselves and how they start their morning. So what does your morning routine look like? Like, when do you get up? What do you do? What do you eat? What do you drink?
Morning routine, it is very simple actually, because for me, when I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is like as a part of our tradition, like I take a glass of lukewarm water. So that is, we call it water therapy. You can read that in my book, Water Therapy. If you do it, you can clean the system. Like you can increase the number of glasses by step, but follow the table I have given in the book, because it is not good just increasing immediately, or it is not good following the high number of glasses for a long time. It has to be like a table. So that table, if you are following, but if you don't want to follow that table, if you are following the table, you can even use it as reducing the or eliminating the toxins in the body. And thus the result is eliminating the weight. You can reduce 2 to 2.5 kilos excess weight. If you are in a normal weight, it won't make any difference. But if you have excess weight, you can reduce up to 2.5 kilos every month with the water therapy program. And if you have digestive problem, you can also use this drinking water, one glass of water, very simple. But don't brush your teeth with any chemicals. That's very important. Try to use you can brush if you want to brush your tongue. And also I need to say that like after this drinking, make sure you are not drinking or eating at least for 30 to 45 minutes.
Mm.
So then only this will work properly. So if you are 6 o'clock waking up, just take a glass of water, and then 6:30 or 6:45, you can drink or eat anything. You can take your breakfast. Meanwhile, you can do your walk, morning walk or yoga or any other exercise, no problem.
So this is what you do in the morning?
This is what I do. It's very simple, because water I can get anywhere in the morning. So and it's a little lukewarm water. So I will have a flask. So I take it and then I do my yoga. I'm quite lazy sometimes doing yoga. So sometimes I do 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Sometimes I do 1 or 2 hours. It's up to my day, how it look like.
Yeah.
Oh, but remember one thing I can tell you, many people are taking something from Ayurveda here and they are following, but and thinking that that's good. For example, tongue cleaning. In the morning, people use a tongue scraper.
Yeah.
And that custom came from the villages like this. And we are using the split of a coconut tree leaf.
Oh.
That is quite easy and that is not harm. But now people are using plastic or steel, metal, and that can cut the taste buds on the.
Oh
on
no,
the
I use a spoon. That's spoon. Bad then.
I will suggest not, you can brush instead. You can use your toothbrush and take some water and just brush it.
Brush
and it will go in between. It won't cut off. When you use any kind of thing, you can imagine that the taste buds are very sensitive. So when you wipe it, it will break. And after that, it will tongue will create a hard layer to protect this taste buds. Mm. Then suddenly you won't get the real taste of the food after a while. So this is a wrong practice, unfortunately, because even the doctors are saying, Ayurveda doctors are saying, use tongue scrapers. And they are even selling this silver, gold, metal and plastic tongue scraper. I say that this is all wrong because we are using the leaf, actually. That leaf, but we won't get the leaf. That's why I found a solution. Everybody have toothbrush. Use the toothbrush and just circulate like it with the clockwise and anti-clockwise rotations with some hot water. You can clean your tongue.
Good, good. I'm gonna start doing that tomorrow because I've been using a spoon. Okay, so you do your warm water, which is really good to cleanse out the toxins, but it's also good because it activates your parasympathetic nervous system and it calms down the body, right? As of the opposite, if you drink really cold water, you will like put some stress in your body and it will give the opposite reaction.
At least if you cannot get warm water, really, sometimes you can use a room temperature at least.
Yeah.
That will be also fine.
I'm just now drinking. I'm drinking lukewarm water with a fresh mint and fresh ginger and half a lemon. It's really good. So do you do any kind of other exercise than your yoga?
I think yoga has yoga means not like the yoga many people are doing. Like I don't have a style like Ashtanga or Hatha. This is all different styles we created, like Kundalini, different people created. But we have a yoga therapy. Just like I said, every person is different. If you and your sister and your mother and your friend is doing yoga, it will be all are doing different yoga.
Yeah.
So once the one person came to my village, it was a long time ago. And when in the morning he woke up and just started to come out and ask, where is the ocean? Then we said, no, there is no ocean nearby, but I heard the waves. Then my teacher he brought him to the place and showed that this is a yoga shala. People are doing pranayama.
So he thought that was the ocean. Wow. Ocean.
So that's like a deep breathing. And the most surprised was actually when he saw the people standing there and practicing, he saw that around 40, 45 people inside the shala, but everybody is doing different programs.
Yeah.
So the guru is going to each person and correcting. That is called yoga therapy. That means if 10 people in a shala, in a yoga studio, 10 people will be doing 10 programs.
Yeah,
it's not the same. But if you go to a yoga shala, unfortunately, I have seen that everybody is doing the same style, same program, because thinking that every program is good for everybody. It is not true, because we have most of the programs are okay, we will say. Most of the asanas are good. We just, let's say, 70 to 80 asanas we have, and its variations. Among them, 15 asanas are really good for you. And if you sort out that, you can say that around 7 or 8 asanas are better for you, and 3 or 4 asanas are best for you.
Yeah.
So how do we know which one is the best? If you don't have time, you only need to do these 3 asanas. That's what I do sometimes, 5 minutes, these 3 asanas, I know which one is best for me. But if I have time, I will also do the better one. If I little bit more, I will do the good ones too. So it can take like 1 hour or more than that. So find out. It's the same thing with the food. All the food is, of course, vegetarian food or vegan food. People say that. But all the vegetables, all the fruits, you don't need. Your body needs something like that is matching with your elements. Then you get much better energy from morning till evening.
Yeah.
So that will make you feel more alive. So that, which are that fruit? So there is a list in my, you can find it in my website. There is a website is updated all the time. There's a list in my website. If you look at that website, you can see what are the vegetables, what are the fruits, and what are the grains good, the best for me. And that for that, you need to know, oh, how can I know what I am? Just to spend 10 minutes. There is a test called PDE test. It's a self-test. If you spend 10 minutes, you can finish that around 112 questions. You can get the result. What is your prakriti or vigriti? What is your by birth or if you have an imbalance, that vikriti. So vikriti means you have an imbalance. So eat this. If you have a pitta vikriti or vata vikriti or kapha vikriti, you have the suggestion what food to eat, what kind of yoga asanas to spend. So anybody, it's all free. So if you just go to my website, like janeshwaiti.com, you can find the test there and click that test. And after the test, you get the result. And also you get the suggestions to start with what asanas is good for you, what yoga and what food is good for you.
What that is a good tip to give to the listeners. Do the test.
Exactly.
But what do you have for breakfast?
That's a good question.
Like, what did you have today?
I oatmeal porridge.
Oatmeal porridge. Yeah. Porridge. Do you have anything with it? Do you have any fruits?
Yes,
with
I will
it?
Have some tropical fruits, like we have some jackfruit here. So
you probably have them outside your window as well, with mango and all other
mangoes,
cool.
Yes, we have.
Wow.
This is the season of mangoes, and in the air you can feel the smell of ripe mangoes and jackfruits, because this is the time.
Wow.
If you go walk through the streets, you can see that the jackfruit trees are heavy with these fruits, and they are falling, and hardly nobody is taking some places.
Amazing.
It's too much. And also mangoes. If you are not walking carefully, mangoes can fall on your head, because most
mangoes.
Of the roads are
branches
are heavy with the mangoes. So it's like so much mango, so much jackfruit. That is the season now.
Wow, lucky you. I have to go to ICA, the supermarket, to buy the mangoes. If you could give the listeners one simple thing, like one tip, Ayurvedic tip, life tip, that they could integrate into their daily life, like one simple thing, what would that be?
I think I already gave that tip.
Yeah.
That one tip.
Find your passion.
That is mentally, like, but physically, like when you wake up, just try this 3 weeks. And if you haven't got any result, don't listen to any of the Ayurveda recommendation, because I haven't even a single person. I talked to thousands of people and everybody said, this is amazing. It's very simple. So people started, never stopped. That's the simplicity in it. You don't need to do the full water therapy course if you don't want to. Just take a glass of water in the morning.
And then wait 30 minutes.
Half an hour, yes. Yeah. And nothing else. Then very simple, you start your day. So always don't use coffee, tea or anything in the morning. Start with a glass of water. This is a physical.
I love
mental
that.
Thing, I will say that never cheat your heart. That means always, always, always follow your heart. Whatever comes from that, it can sometimes feel silly to your brain. It can sometimes feel not realistic to your brain or the society, but that is true. Mm-hmm. That is your real you. That is your real you. That's the wild in you. Everything else is a pageant that actually the human made the technique, human made the programs running inside of you. That is not making a stress and anxiety and sadness. But the true happiness comes when you follow your heart.
Oh, I mean, how nice is that as a last sentence of the interview? True happiness comes from your heart. I love that. I will give you 5 incomplete sentences that I just want you to fill in the blanks very shortly.
Okay.
This one time I had to really lie was when I... Do you ever lie?
Let me think. Yes, I must have lied, but I...
That was a difficult question.
Yes, I have to think which one was the biggest lie. That's what I am thinking. nothing is coming to me. And because for a long time, I haven't lied. I can tell you for the last 3 decades, maybe I haven't lied to myself or to anybody else. But I'm sure that I have lied. But I'm sorry, I don't remember that.
Okay, skip that. This daily routine is something that I will never skip, not even for one day. Is
my when I wake up, I just always say thank God for this beautiful day you have given to me. And if you can, please let me come back to my bed and sleep on my pillow rather than going to the coffin tonight.
That's wonderful. So talking about health now, this thing that bothers me or worries me the most in the world right now is?
The world's stressful life.
Yes, I totally agree.
Life conditions. That is really, really worrying me. Because the new generation is more stressed than the old generation.
I know. And
it's going worse, definitely. That's very much true.
Yeah, that is sad. One of my hidden talents are
acting.
You are. Oh my God. Interesting.
I love to be an actor when I was born, but I haven't told anybody in any interview, but I think I have the emotion. For example, if I get a role with a lot of emotional character, I can handle it because I don't want to act. I am there with that.
Okay, so now you've been telling us that we should follow our heart, follow our dreams, and find our passion. So when do we see you in the next super big movie, Indian or Hollywood movie? You never know.
Very soon, actually. I think my second child, my son, is now studying multimedia. He wants to be a director.
Really?
And to make my stories, because I have so many stories I was telling him, and because I was thinking about making myself, but I dedicated to Ayurveda and also followed my grandma's vision. So I didn't get too much time during this time to make those stories. But my son is actually now, maybe in a few years, he will be a director. So
there
will be.
Amazing. And how old are your children?
My son is actually now, we cannot talk about the age, but I can say that he's in the college, like
yeah.
Degree, like what do you call it after the gymnasium?
Yeah, university.
College, yes.
College or university.
And my daughter is now she finished her medicine in modern medicine, like the
yeah.
allopathy, and she's a doctor now. She's practicing in a hospital.
Wow, that is interesting. What if you could like mix your knowledge with her knowledge?
That's what she want to help, like my grandma. She want to help the woman, and she want to specialize in gynecology.
Yeah. We she need more amazing gynecologists, because there are not so many good gynecologists left
yes.
on, well, not in Sweden anyway.
Yes. So the good thing is like she is a modern doctor, like she can work in Sweden or like in States or in India, anywhere. At the same time, she has the backup knowledge of Ayurveda.
Oh so, my God. You taught her everything?
Not everything, but she has the backup, and she has the same name as my grandma, like Agnes. My grandma's name
really?
Was Agnes.
Agnes.
Yeah. Agnes, because her father was like a doctor too, and a British doctor, you know, working with the British people. So the Agnes came from, I think, that British times. It was a English name. So that's the way she became like an Ayurveda practitioner, and she got that name.
Wow, Agnes. That is interesting. And it's also a Swedish name, Agnes.
Yes, I know. I was once I was seeing an idol in Sweden, idol, and the winner was one Agnes or something like that. So
I have so many questions for you about Sweden and all kinds of things, but we don't have enough time. Talking about time.
I know.
Oh.
But here a funny thing, like when I first came to Sweden, I asked people that, because I'm really not, I'm a village person. I never gone outside. So first I came to Scandinavia, and then I came to, like, of course, traveled to Finland and Norway and came to Sweden. And then I asked to my Swedish friends, what shall I ask to people if I lost the way back home?
Yeah.
Because if I'm going out, I said, you can go out and just find. That time we don't have this Google Maps or anything. It was in the millennium.
Yeah.
Very, very much like a primitive time. So,
premature. They
said, yes, for compared to now, actually. Now you can set a map and you can
move.
That time you can't. So they taught me a sentence, and I was by heart that even in the night, because that's the only thing I need to know. So if you see somebody, and they said that the women are more helpful than men, so ask to women that. So I said by heart, but later I, you know what they taught me?
No.
You lose the home, like you ask that, where is the home back? That's what I want to know. How can I reach my back? Skavi gova hem till day alarme.
You don't want to ask a stranger that.
Lucky that I haven't got that there to ask anybody. But when I was in Sweden, I realized that what does that mean? But that was the kind of funny things. Several things with the language. It happened.
Yeah. So it is a difficult language.
I don't think so, because if I want to, I can learn to. It is quite easy compared to my language, the Kerala Malayalam language.
Mm.
It is very, very, even for me, still, I don't know all the Malayalam words.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hard language.
You have so many different ones in India, right?
India, different language. Most of them are very much connected to Sanskrit. Malayalam is very much connected to Sanskrit. So we have so many Sanskrit words in Malayalam.
Mm-hmm. Jag har precis fyllt 50 och en av gåvorna till mig själv var att jag skulle ha ett self-care year med extra glitter och glow, och det vill jag kunna dela med mig av. Därför kan jag nu erbjuda dig 20% rabatt på alla Great Earths produkter som ger just lite extra glow. Jag kan varmt tipsa om den vackra duo-kapseln Beautiful Skin, fylld med närande vitaminer och mineraler, exklusiva oljor, fransk melon och champagnedruva. Gå in på greatearth.se/glow och använd koden Kirin20 med stora bokstäver
bokstäver så får du 20% på alla produkter som ger extra glow. Det är alltså Kirin20 på greatearth.se/glow. Och du, koden gäller bara till sista maj, så skynda, skynda så vi kan glittra tillsammans.
Okay, last question. When I leave this earth, I would like to leave.
Yes, when I leave this planet, I would like to leave a message that this planet can survive more years, because that's what I believe. Because this, according to the present condition, we don't leave. We will be like the, we will be a species disappear from this planet very soon. Like the dinosaurs, like many species disappeared. We humans are also going to disappear within few years, maybe like a couple of hundred or maximum, I think 300 years, we will disappear from this planet. But this is the time, because now the ocean, if you look at the ocean, it is getting, acidity is getting higher, and also the coral reefs are dying. Within 2050, all the coral reefs will disappear. And it will be like a symmetry then underneath. And also the polar, like poles, like the ice stations are melting. Yeah. Every minute it is many meters of ice are melting and coming as water. So many cities, many countries are going drowning now, soon or later. Within 10, 15 years, this world will be suffering with a lot of flood, lot of disease, lot of problems.
Yeah.
Man-made problems and also nature-made catastrophes we are going to face. And I don't know how many of us will survive. So we are going to, soon we are going to disappear. There's no doubt about it. And millions of bad things going to happen. Bacteria, infections, viruses, fungus, parasites. This is all going to attack. So the thing is like that, but this is the time. This 2022, 2 years gone. Actually, 2020 to 2030 is the time we can turn. We are walking to the towards the cliff. And if we don't turn within this coming 8 years, there's no way back. We will all disappear. So I hope I can, before I leave this planet, I can give a message or this message and help this community to return with the tools of Ayurveda, with the wisdom of Ayurveda.
I wish you are right, and that you can give the world this wonderful knowledge of Ayurveda. So I have a few last words that I want to share with you with this today's topic. So my first experience with any kind of alternative medicine, because I would call it alternative medicine, was when I was in my early 20s. I have had problems with my skin for many, many years, and I've taken tons of antibiotics. So my father is a physician, and that was the way to go then. That's what my parents thought was best for me then, and I don't blame them. But at this point, I had to make a change. I was fed up with traditional medicine. I was always instructed to take double doses and so on, and this eventually made my body to react in the opposite way, of course. I remember getting a couple of big spots or outbreaks in my face. They were filled with blood only. And I can only imagine what my liver had to deal with at this time. So I went to this Swedish lady and that I was highly recommended to go see. And she instructed me to stop immediately with the antibiotics. She started, she gave me some kind of special tea. This was a long time ago. And I also took some homeopathic pills and so on. And very slowly, my body started to heal. I remember that I was so amazed, and that a lot of things about health became more clear and so natural, even though I had always been interested in health and also been working in this field as long as I can remember. But it took another 20 years before I started studying yoga, and that was a huge turning point. And of course, so many other things happened in between. And in my yoga education, I am a 200-hour Ishta yoga teacher. And Ishta means integrated science of Hatha, Tantra, and Ayurveda, of course. And I was again exposed to this fascinating science of Ayurveda. Since 10 years ago, I do my daily yoga and meditation every morning, and I drink a liter of warm lemon water, as we talked about. So I am so extra humble and grateful to having you as my guest today. For those of you that are not familiar with Ayurveda, I highly recommend that you at least Google Ayurveda. I promise you that you will love it. And that will unfortunately be the end of our lovely conversation today. And again, so, so very grateful to have you here and to have this beautiful chat with you. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Sharina.
Thank you. And if you want to read more about you or buy your books or do your coaching, where can we find you in social media?
You can find me directly in my website. That is my name, janeshvaidya.com. That is in different languages also. So you can choose the language. If it's English, it's not your language. Few other languages are possible too. There you can get information about how many books I have, which languages it's published, where can you order. If you click that, you can order online. And also little information about Ayurveda and what I am doing, my work, like if I have latest lectures, where I am, you can get it. And also the retreat information, if you are interested more to have an experience, because, okay, we all can talk about this, but I can tell you, I can promise you that this is really an experience. At least one time in life, you need to try. Oh, everybody should try this Ayurveda treatment wherever you go, if you're going to India or Sri Lanka, because they have the really authentic Ayurveda center. I have only one advice. Don't go to a tourist place and do it in a spa and call it Ayurveda. Ayurveda center is like, they should be more specialized in Ayurveda treatments, and they are not like spas. They are seriously working, dedicated centers. There are in Sri Lanka and India. And we have this center is actually, this is the only center like this in this village. So we are not promoting too much, but we have Instagram page called Vaidya's Ayurveda Village. And also I have Instagram and Facebook, Janesh Vaidya Ayurveda. So if you want to have the updates and pictures, if you want to see, probably you want to see more pictures of this village, you can go to my website or Instagram. And if you have any specific questions, definitely I am there for you. So please just write a line, either as a direct message in Insta or Facebook, or if you have a little bit more to write it in the email, like you can find it in my website. That will be the best option. So even though it takes a while, I will definitely answer everyone's question, because I spend quite a lot of time to answer these questions from
the people
around the world.
So if we Google Janesh Vaidya Ayurveda, we will for sure find everything about you, where to find you.
And first you will come to my website. So that will be the most important information you can get, or update information. But if you want to get to some people I have Instagram and Facebook, that's why I suggested to add, follow those social media. So we can be always updated each other. We can be connected each other from anywhere in the world. And the courses, as I said, if you are interested in doing an online course, you cannot travel to India, but you still want to start up. I have online courses it's more like a consultation. So you can meet me for a consultation, and I will give that information how to do the program.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So follow Janesh Vaidya and follow me on Shape by Shirin. And most importantly, maybe subscribe to the podcast, Träna med Shirin. Please share it with your friends and please leave a comment. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Janesh. Thank you, all of my wonderful listeners. And a big thank to my sponsors, greatearth.se and mpikoa.se. Until next time, I am sending you lots of love from Stockholm. Bye.
Thank you, Sharina.